Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Dina.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Victory!
What's up, bro?
Jerry Judy, baby, let's go.
How are we?
What's going on in the text line already? What's happening?
Oh, it's pretty funny.
Huh? There's a lot of DMAC comments on the text line. The show hasn't even begun.
I know. Well, again, we do a little something-something before the show starts, so we are not always lucky enough, privy to the conversations of the Soakley Show right before we start. But on Twitter early today, after Alex Smith decided to retire, I pointed out that the Soakley Show's big idea for a quarterback competition was a guy who just retired today.
Right, yes.
So
yes.
They nailed that one.
Yeah, that was not a good idea. No, that was not the best idea that the Soakley Show has ever had.
No, they crushed
it. You want to bring in Alex Smith to be a coach, to be a life coach, to be a mentor, fantastic. Put him on the 53-man roster, nope, not a good idea.
No, the whole concept was like, who would bring competition or leadership, I don't know, something like
but
that.
But that's not what these texts are about.
Oh, because they want to point out, like, Cam Newton was a perfect fit for the Broncos. Cam Newton would have been a perfect fit for the Broncos in this scenario right now. He'd have been great. He'd have been absolutely fantastic.
Where's my mic screen?
And he's got good, because he doesn't rule out that you still draft a quarterback, and we'll see what New England does. We'll watch what the Patriots do. But that is the, hey man, that is the Glennon Trubisky doctrine.
Hey, you guys could both have bad ideas. That's possible. Two things can be true at one time.
I don't think
they could have a bad idea. Cam Newton could be a bad idea. They're both true.
I don't think Cam Newton's a bad idea. I'll tell you what Cam Newton's going to be doing this fall. He's going to be playing football. He's not retiring.
You do have him on that one.
He's not giving up football. He's continuing to play. Now, whether or not you think he's any good as a veteran backup / mentor bridge guy, which clearly he is, by the way, whether you think he's good at that or not, that's a different conversation. They literally picked out a guy who now no longer plays in the NFL.
You know what? You win. Your idea was less dumb.
All right, fine. So who's our guy right now?
Well,
who's our guy right now?
Jeff Driskel.
Is
correct.
He our guy? I don't know about Jeff Driskel. I know that Brett Rypien was at practice today, along with Drew Lock. I know there were more than 20, I was told, more than 20 guys that were there.
Boycott's not going so hot. Organization is crumbling really, really quickly here. Very quickly.
What happened to that boycott? Where'd that boycott go?
I mean, in the big picture, the majority of the guys are home right now. If we were just going to be counting heads and see how many are there and how many are at home, there are more guys at home than there are guys that were at work today. But 20 feels to me a little bit surprising, but I guess in the big picture, if I sit back and think on it, I bet you that if there were 20 guys in the building, that's probably only an additional 5 or 6 from the guys that were already rehabbing, from the guys that were already in town, that were already working out with Lauren Landau. So that probably means that 5 or 6 guys flew in to be in attendance on Monday. And when you think about it in terms of that, well, that doesn't feel like that big of a number. You know, I mean, all the guys that were going to be rehabbing, they were going to be there anyways. Dalton Risner's got $75,000 on the line. But I believe Dalton when he said that he'd be there regardless. I believe him when he says that, and I do believe he'd be there regardless. Drew Lock was the fascinating one because he truly was in a no-win situation. He also has got a financial incentive to be there. He's got a workout bonus, and I believe it was $75,000. Richie, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that.
It is.
Okay, $75,000. Yeah. That's a stupid amount of money just to show up and lift some weights, something you were going to be doing anyways. But when you think about the spot that Drew is in, okay, I know that this organization is actively trying to replace me. I know that they've gone out there, they've been involved in trade talks, they've been at every single pro day for the quarterbacks this year, and I've got a lot on the line. Yet I also know that part of being a quarterback is representing your team and representing the herd. And, you know, when you've got the majority of guys that are staying home, they're attempting to make this boycott. Are you going to be the guy that crosses the line? I think Drew Lock made the right decision for himself, and I'm not judging him here, but the decision that he made was for self-preservation. It's also a decision that I would have made. You've got everything on the line right now, Drew Locke does. And if there's something that I can do to make these coaches feel like I'm the guy, well, I'm going to do it. And although it's probably not going to do anything, I feel like me just showing up, it's going to at least contribute a little bit. So at least they can't knock that one against me that I didn't show up.
Oh, see how many guys show up tomorrow. You know, all right, let me give you a guy who's there that's kind of interesting. Brett Rypien was there. Now, he doesn't have a workout bonus. Why was Brett Rypien there?
Good. That's a good one. If Drew Locke was not there, I don't think he would have been there. I firmly believe that those two probably talked beforehand, and Brett knew what Drew was going to do, and he felt like he should show up. Why is Brett Rypien there? Well, for the same reason a lot of young guys would feel the pressure to be there, because self-preservation. You're trying to make get a role on this team.
So why would any young guy not be there?
Herd mentality. It's real. It's real. It's really hard to be the guy. I mean, whether you feel like it's right or wrong, let's say you feel like what the players are doing is wrong, and you feel like you want to be in that building. Okay, it's really easy to stand on a moral high ground when you're not in that situation. But when you're in that situation and you've got 53 peers, actually at this point it's like 90 peers, mm-hmm. when you've got 90 peers that are all telling you that we're going to hold out, the herd mentality of that is tough to break from. So, you know, just because a guy stays home, it certainly does not mean that he is in agreement with what the decision has been made here.
I just want to go through the list of guys that it makes sense that they're there. Here's who makes sense that they're there. Guys who are getting a workout bonus, which for the Broncos isn't very many, but that's one group of guys. Two, young guys that feel like they need to prove themselves. Now, that's actually quite a few guys. Three would be any other veteran or anybody else who was on the bubble that they have to impress and have to prove things. So this entire boycott is geared towards veterans that feel okay with their status that don't have a workout bonus.
More or less, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of flaws.
This is ridiculous.
There's a lot of flaws with it. I mean, I think you've oversimplified that just a little bit, but I'm not going to even debate it. I mean, I think for the most part, what you said is true. And absolutely, there's a lot of issues with this particular boycott. I mean, is it a boycott if you don't have everybody that's on board? Probably not. You know,
no, it's nothing. It's really nothing. And the biggest reason I feel it's nothing, it was based on a false premise to begin with, because the big reason was COVID. Well, that was debunked relatively quickly by the Broncos. First of all, it was debunked by the Broncos specifically because they've had excellent protocols and standards of operation just from the get-go. Second of all, the NFL said, okay, fine, we're going to take phase one and we're going to make it a month, not 2 weeks.
Yep.
So we got more time. We're going to expand that. So,
which, by the way, the Packers, as far as I'm aware of, the Packers are the only team that have made an official like counter towards their team. And they did say, look, we want to be home for phase one.
Mm-hmm.
So this 4 weeks where we're going to be lifting and working out, but we're not doing on the field work. We want to be home and we want to be able to give you evidence that we've been working out. And if we give you evidence, we, number one, want to get our $275 in per diem that we would have been getting right. had we been in that building.
Right.
And number two, we want it to work towards our off-season workout bonus. After phase one is complete, we'll be back in the building. That's what the Packers have put on the table.
Seems to make sense. And then the Broncos said, we're going to get you vaccinated during phase one, first shot, second shot, you, your family, and, oh, by the way, alumni, too. And you're going to take advantage of that, right? You're going to go or
yeah,
yes,
now I'm
no.
confused on if I even can. I'm not sure if I have to go to the original place or not. But anyways,
okay,
bottom
whatever.
Line, incredible offer that the Broncos have put out.
Right,
there.
So what exactly are you protesting then if you're in this weird classification where you're not a young guy, you don't have a workout bonus, and you don't have any coaches to impress or make an impression upon? Who are you? And off we go with this, whatever this is. Meanwhile, I'm laughing at the video coverage I saw, because they're shooting it like behind a tree, through a bush, behind a fence, like, look closely. You can see Drew Locke.
Right, right.
I mean, it's kind of laughable. I mean, we're watching like the Zapruder film right here. It's not that big of a deal, but yet, you know, we're shooting it as if it is. And I saw Drew Locke, and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense he's there. It makes sense he's there. He's been there all off season, basically. That's where he's been going.
That's what I really want to know. And maybe Mike Kliss or Troy Rank or one of our insiders could figure this out. I want to know how many bodies are in the building today that were not there last week. Because that will tell me whether the boycott is real or not. You know, if you're a rehab guy, if you've got a torn ACL, you've got a meniscus, you've got an ankle, you've got whatever, of course you're going to be in the building. You're trying to get healthy. You're going to be seeing the doctors. You're going to be seeing the training staff. If you're a guy that's got $500,000 on the line, $775,000 on the line, well, I would certainly be there. But how many guys that were not there last week are here right now? To me, that's the real story.
Yeah.
And we don't know the answer to that as of now.
We do not. Was Garrett Bowles there?
Not to my knowledge. Now, that doesn't mean he was not there, but we learned that Dalton Risner and Graham Glasgow were there. So I do think that if another offensive lineman was present, we probably would have heard.
Why did I take so long to say this? Was Juwan James there? That's the answer. That's the question curious minds want to know. Was Juwan James there? Probably not. That was probably a twist of the arm that you didn't have to make for him to not be there.
Fellas, I'm in. I am in. But if you want to stay home, I will.
If we got to stay home. I mean, only if we got to, though.
I just want to get your guys' respect again, and I know I've got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
And if you guys want me to stay right at this house, I can do that for you.
All right. Well, whatever. Here's the tricky part.
Didn't hear anything about Vaughn, though, who's got 500 grand tied into it.
I asked about it, and the answer was not sure. Now, here's what I was told, too. COVID has created some interesting rules. You can't just show up whenever you want because of COVID reasons. There's three times. There's a morning time, and there's two afternoon times to show up. It's kind of like signing up for a spin class. You got to sign up. You got to be okay when you're there. The meetings, the virtual meetings that are very specific time. And so I guess that's kind of in the middle of the day. So you could work out afterwards or you could work out before, that sort of thing. And apparently attendance at the virtual meetings was like 100%.
You confused me a little bit on COVID there because that's not the way that I understand it. I might be wrong on this, but the way I understand it is that you could show up any day, that they're having same day testing, and you got to test and you got to make sure that you clear. But if you clear, you can go in that day.
Well, I was told that in terms of the workouts, you have to, there's three times and you got to, you know.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's always options. There's always options of which workout you want to attend, and you have to go 4 out of the 5 days. They offer you could go Monday through Friday, but you only have to go to 4 of those. You get to choose, and you get to choose what time you go.
Well, let's get some clarification. We go to our guy, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of
ROX Rocks Heating and Air.
Troy, what do you know about who showed and who didn't show today? Uh-huh.
Right.
Got it. Troy, you there? Troy, my man.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy. Hey, sorry about that. All right, who was there, who wasn't there?
Yeah, I don't know all 20. There was roughly 20. Talked to multiple players that were there. It's similar to the group they've had all offseason.
Ah.
You know, Drew Locke, Dalton Risner, Graham Glasgow. Guys have been working there all offseason. You know, I'm talking about literally would go there and work out 3 to 4 days a week and then use Landau's place for one day a week. So that group and then, you know, some rehabbing guys. So about 22 was the number in the off season. Today was roughly around 20. Virtual attendance on the meetings, I was told, was either perfect attendance or right at that. So, you know, this idea, it's voluntary workouts. I'll be honest, that doesn't excite me unless we have an issue in May when these guys are supposed to be there as a mandatory minicamp. But, you know, getting classroom time, a couple hours a day, 4 days a week, it can't hurt, certainly for a team that's 5-11 and missed the playoffs 4 straight years.
So that was the interesting part to me, and you mentioned it just briefly here, but the interesting part to me, how many guys are here today that have not been here previously? And I know that you don't have all the names, the specifics of it, but I'm just curious if you had a rough guess.
Yeah, I don't have that number. My guess is it's a few. I mean, it's just, again, 22 were training here during the off season.
Oh, really?
And roughly 22 at different times total were there during the off season, and today was 20. So My guess is that if you put a and you overlaid them, that map would be pretty similar. Guys who've been around. I don't know if guys were flying in from other places for today. I have not heard that, that they did. And based on the fact that the virtual attendance was right at 100%, it suggests it's pretty much similar to the pack of guys who've been here most of the off season.
Well, maybe I can ask you a couple specifics. Was Vaughn there? Or do you know?
I don't know if Vaughn was there. I don't know. He had been at the facility for a couple of days. Prior to when his contract got exercised, he went and met with George Payton. It wasn't necessarily contract related, but to say hello as he was passing through, if you will. I talked to guys when he worked out then. I don't know if he was there today. The NFLPA has basically told players that have workout bonuses to go. I mean, they're not telling them not to go. So would it matter for Vaughn? I mean, he's got a workout bonus that he could show up. Like Tyler said, there's a little bit of elasticity there in terms of, you know, he has the percentage of workouts you have to show up to trigger your bonus, and I don't think it would be 100%, but I do not know if Vaughn was there.
What about Juwan James?
James has been around the facility. Now, whether he was there today, I don't know. I'm trying to find that out. He's been around the facility for a couple of times recently. I do know that. He was back in town. He was at UC Health Center I think it was last week. So he's been around, and the idea was DMAC, he was going to start working out with the lineman group that included Lloyd Cushenberry, Reisner, Glasgow, and James. They were going to start working out together kind of around this time. It wasn't firm schedule, but I know the plan was him for to begin working out with those linemen. Not necessarily a UC Health training. That could be part of it, or if they went to Landau or whatever. But the plan was for him to start working out with that group of four because Bowles is continuing his training in California.
What do you think will be the deciding factor of if and when the majority of the players decide to return to work?
That's an interesting question, Tyler. I mean, they've mentioned COVID-19 as part of it, but let's be honest, it is and it isn't. It's an easy way to say, you know, you haven't really changed anything from last season, and we expected more specifics and protocols. But this is just basically a labor issue that the players don't see the need for these voluntary workouts. When they look at last year doing it virtually, and I will tell you this, veterans that I've talked to would 100% agree with that. They don't like, especially those that don't live in the city where they play, having to come back here for 2 weeks or whatever. They don't like doing that. They would prefer the voluntary workouts stay virtual. So what would allow them to get the mandatory minicamp is going to force guys' hand, clearly, and that's not until, I think, May 18th. This is just kind of a slow play labor issue of the players kind of pushing back for something, you know, that they agreed upon, but that has not been laid out specifically this offseason. There was a little bit of confusion whether they had a proposal on hand, which some say they did, and they just the players didn't, you know, offer a counter proposal. Regardless, Tyler, it really comes down to this. The NFLPA doesn't think they need to do a traditional offseason anymore based on what happened last year.
Mm-hmm. This is just a soft protest. That's what it is. There's no big guilt being put on anybody. This is a soft protest working for something in the future, which is essentially an elimination of phase one, which is the workout portion of the OTAs. And I
would say that's a perfect characterization of a DMAC, that it's they're not telling guys if you show up there, we're coming at you. This is somehow viewed as crossing the line. It's not that, because they're advising guys with bonuses to go.
Yeah.
But it is like a soft way of complaining and drawing attention to the fact we don't want to do a traditional offseason anymore. Right. I talked to Melvin Gordon about it last Thursday, and he kind of laughed. He was like, I don't show up to OTAs, and I haven't in 5 years, so I'm probably not the best guy to ask. But his point was, and his quote was, if I can't show up in shape and, you know, earn the trust of my teammates, you know, what kind of guy am I? Like, all of us are professionals. We work out full time. And frankly, most of them would prefer to work out on their own with their guys. Where they run into a problem with the public and the perception and the optics of this is that somehow that's safer than doing it at the facility, when I think we'd all agree there's no way you working out with a guy and a personal trainer is necessarily safer than the protocols you would have at UCL Training Center. That's where it's totally like, agree. Okay, you roll your eyes a little bit at that. But you're right, DMAC, it's a soft protest of we don't want to come in April after we just showed you the quality of play last year didn't suffer when we did that part virtually.
All right. Any Who was at North Dakota today with Trey Lance from the Broncos?
Pat Shurmur was there, and that's a real sign. Again, and you've talked about it, D-Mac, you and Tyler. They're there for a reason. These are strategy situations where they're trying to figure out, can they take and will they take a quarterback in the first round? Peyton saw the first workouts for Lance and Fields. Pat Shurmur saw the second ones. That's just how you do in baseball, and I come back to it. It's cross-checking. I saw him on the field. I saw it. You come back. You tell me what you saw. You know, how's the ball coming out of the hand? How did you react if he had a bad pass? What did he look like to you? And you compare notes. I mean, that's how you get to a point of consensus is, yeah, this guy's definitely worth it. Or, you know what, it's not worth it to trade to four. But this is what I keep saying. If Mac Jones goes to the 49ers at three, and I'm still not convinced he is, I just can't believe that. But if he does, Trey Lance and Justin Fields, one of those two, if not both, are going to be on the board at seven. If you're the Broncos, I think you have to think strongly. I just dropped my fun top 10 mock. You have to think strongly of moving up to seven to take one of those guys. Because if you wait to nine, I think they're both gone. Because I think Washington, Patriots, Bears, they jump up and they take them. But if they're both there at seven and you can get that spot without surrendering a first-round pick, I think you got to do it.
Why do you think George Payton was not there?
Because he's preparing for the draft meetings. He's in draft meetings all day getting the board set.
You can always prioritize, though, right? I mean, I guess I'm just curious if that means anything that he didn't go.
Well, again, the way he did it is he did go, and then I'm sending out another guy to go, and you come back to me and tell me what you saw. Because it'd be different if it was like pro day and then a game. To go to two pro days as the GM, I mean, there's a point where, like, really, I mean, you're literally watching him throw to against air.
Yeah.
It's George Payton wants to see a guy. His attitude, like his charisma, some of the stuff you can't see on game film. Like, hey, he has a bad pass. Is he sulk? Is he over there talking to his teammates? How does that ball look when it comes off his hand? Does that look, like in baseball terms, is that easy cheese? Or is that just kind of like, is he muscling up? Is he an injury risk? And those are the things that he saw all in one. He doesn't need to see that a second time. And he does have to get this draft board set. And at some point, you got to trust your coaches. Hey, you go see him. You come back. Tell me what you see. And I think they're going to be – everything that's interesting to me is even though Trey Lance is 20, he turns 21, I think it's May 9th, and he's just been knocking out of the park on these Zoom meetings with teams, which I'm not saying surprises me, but I didn't know that part of the equation about him. Like, he's at that kind of football maturity. So he's interesting. I just – for me, if Fields is there at 7, you go get him at 7. But if they're both there, then that's a choice. I think the Niners' choice for me is between Trey Lance and Mac Jones.
Thank you, Troy Rank. We appreciate it. Our Denver 7 Broncos insider, courtesy of
ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.
There was an event over the weekend that was can't miss for the most bizarre reasons. And goodbye, Alex Smith. That guy's off the board, too. The water cooler's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, the best thing I saw in sports over the weekend wasn't at Coors Field, although we will have Spilly on in about 15 minutes.
Yes!
I watched every game.
It turns out Rockies can win as long as you only play 6.5 innings.
I mean, you make a fair argument. Well, they can win half the time when you only play 6.5 innings, right. Yeah, I guess that's true, because when you play 7 innings, they lose.
Right, right. Yeah. 6.5, though, that's the magic number.
That's the number. I finally know exactly the difference between Logan Paul and Jake Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, it's taken me some time.
Well, I can't say I've ever put any effort into figuring out the difference between the two.
Okay. Now, I get it. This is not traditional. But when it comes to sports being entertainment, what matters more? The level you are as a viewer entertained or the quality of the sport itself?
Well, usually those two go hand in hand.
Usually they do.
It's tough to be entertained without there being high production value.
Correct. But I watched Jake Paul beat Paul Askren. Now, granted, I didn't watch it live. I did not watch it live. I watched a replay of it on YouTube, which I suppose is appropriate for a YouTube star. And there's brothers, Jake Paul, who beat the crap out of Askren in the first round, and he also destroyed Nate Robinson. And then there's his brother, Logan Paul, who is taller, also a huge YouTube star. Arguably, actually, a bigger YouTube star than Jake Paul. And he is set to, or trying to, I think it is set, fighting Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The boxing is really taking on some new lows here of late. Holy cow.
I get it. But I'm telling you, if you haven't seen this fight between Jake Paul and Paul Askren. Ben Askren, he didn't seem to... Ben. Got it. Yeah, I know.
What do you know?
Yeah. Did you see Richie's got a new haircut?
I did. It looks pretty good.
It does.
I mean, it looks okay. You know, at the end of the day, you need to take some selfies or something. And then I think I'm getting my cut on Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember which day. But I got it coming up here in a few days here.
I respect the fact that you tried to get it on a later date so that they couldn't be directly compared on the day that I got mine. I see what you're doing. I respect it.
You know what's great about Richie, besides everything, is that he gets a haircut and he matches his outfit to his haircut.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Because he got the haircut and he was looking sharp. He wore kind of a dress-up sort of outfit.
Oh, good for you. Yes.
And cologne.
I thought he just did that because he took his job seriously and he was trying to be considered a professional in what he does.
Oh, is this you not doing the boycott here at the Fan, Richie, and just trying to impress the bosses? Or were you going to do this no matter what?
It was absolutely about taking my job seriously. I can't believe you assumed otherwise.
Okay.
Hold on, do you know that this fight, I'm so surprised to hear your review of this.
Well, I didn't finish.
Oh, okay.
The most entertaining thing.
Well, you seem like it's very positive.
Very positive. The most entertaining thing was the play-by-play.
Yeah.
I don't know who the main play-by-play guy was, it didn't really matter. But you had Snoop Dogg and Pete Davidson on the call with Mario Lopez.
I'm telling you.
And specifically Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, when I watched the Tyson fight, I realized that Snoop, like, legitimately needs to make a run at this. He is talented at it. He's hilarious. He's obviously off color. You obviously got to have the right network to put him on.
Oh, no doubt.
But
it's not worth it.
But he is hilarious when he's got the opportunity to be himself. The fight itself is getting horrible reviews. Askren goes out there looking like the average 36-year-old dad.
Yeah.
Looking, you know, he's got the ultimate dad bod out there. Boy, I've learned the new thing in life is to get really famous, go out there, take a fight that you have no interest in actually competing in, and just accept millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Jose Canseco, Askren, I mean, come on, man. This is the way to go.
Got $1 million for
this
it.
This is what we're doing.
What does he care? Yeah, he looked terrible.
Did you see him smiling and laughing
yeah.
and hugging his girlfriend or his
yeah.
wife, whoever that was, as
yeah.
he's walking into the tunnel?
I mean, he had to take a hard one to the face, but I mean...
Hey, we're $1 million richer!
Hey, whatever!
I didn't train a single second for this fight either.
I think he took the fight like a month ago.
It looks like it. He is fat.
Right.
He's fat.
But for Jake Paul, not only did he make money, but his future to make a lot more money
that
is
fight was a
up
joke.
There.
You liked that? I didn't watch it, so I guess...
Thoroughly entertained, but again, that's
why. I just got the highlights.
That's why I asked the question: what matters more, the level of entertainment or the level of skill in the sport that you're watching? And I get it; it wasn't a great boxing match. I mean, what? I don't understand that. Of course,
did you have to pay money to watch this?
No, I told you I watched it on YouTube the next day. I didn't pay money for it.
I don't listen very closely. Yeah.
No, so I did not pay money for it, but a lot of people did. And I tell you what, man, I'm tempted to pay money for the next one. The next one may be Jake Paul against Conor McGregor.
Oh, well, I'd pay money to watch that one.
Hell
for sure.
Yeah. And Logan Paul.
Because then there'd be something of real interest with these Paul brothers. I mean, then they're actually fighting somebody. Up to this point, they've fought nobodies.
That's right.
Like guys that aren't even in the sport.
I'm entertained,
Askren's not a boxer. Nate Robinson's not a boxer. I mean, they haven't fought anybody yet. So I would for sure love to see the Conor McGregor deal.
And Snoop Dogg, sign me up for more Snoop Dogg.
He's hilarious.
You think the Zoakley Show talks about some of their weekend habits? Snoop Dogg was just straight
what about
up.
Pete Davidson?
Pete Davidson was smoking weed during the broadcast.
Yes.
It was just like, I don't know what to say.
Well, I actually respect the fact that they made a mockery out of the broadcast of it. I respect that.
Yeah.
Because what are you supposed to do?
I mean, in the past, they take boxing so seriously. It's, you know, Jim Lampley with, the old guy there. Who knows? It's so serious.
I am convinced.
This was just like, beat the crap out of him. Get me my money. What do you think, Pete? Yeah, man. I mean, it was crazy to watch.
I'm convinced that, like, the modern mafia is setting up these fights just as a way to fix the sport and just gamble on it. I'm convinced of it.
There's a gambling line, as Snoop made clear.
I mean, I'll take the money line. Take me the money line. I don't care. I don't need any odds. I don't need anything. Just give me the money line.
I don't know, man. And of course, I didn't pay for it, and you know, it didn't take up much of my time. I mean, I think the whole thing, top to bottom, like with the intros, outros, interviews, of tribute to Shadow, the bodyguard who sadly passed away 10 days ago. Oh. Yep, there's a lot of shout-outs to Shadow. The whole thing was like 17 minutes.
Whose bodyguard?
Jake Paul's bodyguard.
Jake's.
Yeah.
Got it.
He was inspired. So, listen, I'm just telling you, man, it wasn't a high priority for me this time, but I loved it when I watched it. I will definitely pay more attention to whatever the next Logan Paul or Jake Paul, you know, thing is. Because it was wildly entertaining. Wildly entertaining. And maybe I'm off, and it was not great boxing.
I need the big name on the other end to get me entertained.
Wow, it could be Conor McGregor, it could be Floyd Mayweather.
I'd watch that for sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Alex Smith has hung it up. What are your thoughts about Alex Smith, the Zoakley Show's favorite? But overall, what do you think about him retiring?
I am such a huge Alex Smith fan, and I always have been, going way, way back. Even in San Francisco, I thought he was undervalued. But by the time he got out to Kansas City, and he put that team, he put the Chiefs on the map. And I heard Stokely and Zach talking about this a little bit earlier, asking if Alex Smith was the quarterback of this Kansas City team the last few years, would he have been able to win a Super Bowl? You know, I don't see any reason why not. I really don't. I think Alex Smith could have probably done similar things, not to the level of the Patrick Mahomes, obviously, but he's been a way undervalued quarterback, nothing but respect for his career. Shoot, he played, like 15, 16 years, something like that? Just a comeback player of the decade, of the lifetime last year. Nothing but respect for Alex Smith, man.
Yeah, props to him. He had a nice tribute video, too, about what's next and how you can take walks with his kids and his family, that sort of thing. The fact that he actually played in the NFL again is remarkable, and he's got nothing but my respect, that's for sure. It just wasn't a really great choice to come be the quarterback in any level or capacity for the Broncos.
No.
But
either was Cam Newton.
Yeah, at least he's playing, dude.
You got that one.
I got that one. All right, the Rockies had a bit of a rocky weekend, and our guy Ryan Spielborgs, he's the best. He'll join us coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Ryan Spielborgs, our Fan Rockies analyst, joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, the Gills Hotel and Casino. Rockies have the day off today. Hey, Spilly.
Spilly.
You.
Hey. All right, so I got a question.
So do I.
The Rockies are 4-12. However, 9 of those 12 losses are by 2 runs or less.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Here we go.
I'm just stating.
Why don't you just play the Rockies apologist beforehand?
I guess I could, but.
He's your Rockies apologist, D-Mac.
Spilly, I'm sure that stat is not lost on you, that there have been a lot of close games, and I know it's not been lost on Blood Black. What do you think that means right now?
It means you're not good enough right now. I mean, play it simple. We're competitors. We don't have to apologize for a bad start. I mean, all the numbers that are starting to add up, runners in scoring position, you know, failure to get guys in with productive outs, leading the league in walks. I mean, those are all byproducts of players that are either sometimes they're overmatched. Maybe they're trying too hard. And sometimes, in many cases, early in the season, there's not enough trust in one another. I mean, as weird as it sounds, that sounds so strange. Tyler, you get this. And I said this to you guys last week. When a group of individuals feel themselves out at the major league level, because, I mean, look at the roster. There's not a lot of back of the baseball card other than Trevor and Blackie and Herman, right? But the rest of the guys, even John Gray, you could say John Gray, but, you know, Daniel Bard was away from baseball for 7 years. CJ Cron has, you know, is recovering from an injury. The last good season he had was 2019. A bunch of, even Ryan McMahon, you know, how to step backwards. So you have a bunch of guys trying to figure it out. And what ends up happening in these type of environments is when they're all trying to figure it out, they try too hard. And as a byproduct, you know, like you either get exposed because you're not able to repeat mechanics at the level necessary to be successful at the major league level, or which happens sometimes too, is just that you're not quite ready. And you know, both can be applied in this conversation.
Spilly, I don't know anybody that really thought the Rockies were going to have anything but a bad season this year. But I don't know about this kind of start. I didn't even see this one coming. I'm not sure anybody did. It feels to me. Well, I guess I'll ask you: Have the Rockies had a worse start in franchise history than what we're going through right now?
No, not at all. I mean, this is the worst start. But, I mean, like, look, this is not an apologist at all. Look at the level of competition. Look at the level of players that they faced. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a gauntlet to start off the season. You got the Astros coming into town. You got the Phillies coming into town. The very first month is not an easy, you know, stretch of schedule. And the pitchers that they faced, from, you know, Johnny Cueto to Walker Buehler to Bauer multiple times to Jacob DeGrom, who, you know, basically could beat anyone on the planet. Yeah, they run into some good pitching. And they've played relatively competitive baseball games. But back to the point where you're making mistakes, where the team has made mistakes, is that they're a bunch of self-inflicted injuries. You know, they're wounds of production. You know, you shouldn't be walking people. There's productive outs and swings and misses. So it forces the team to look itself in the face and go, okay, are we a 4-12 team, or are we slightly better than that? And if you are slightly better than that, then those marginal kind of players that need to up their game, it needs to hurry quick. Otherwise, it's going to really spiral to a point where, and I've said this before, when you get off to a start like this, you lose your friends. People lose friends on their team because they try to find a solution for how to make the team play better.
Oof. Spilly, okay, let's talk about situations then. Because yesterday, first of all, it sucked because DeGrom was ridiculous. And you could have won that game. You probably should have won that game. Which, like, you survived DeGrom and you still lost, which, again, you know, was frustrating because he is DeGrom and he's amazing. Yesterday,
Mets fans don't deserve DeGrom, by the way.
No kidding.
That's enough.
No, but yeah, they were talking on the broadcast how he'll be the first guy to go into the Hall of Fame winning 78 games if he stays with the Mets his entire career. But
yeah, I mean, the Mets don't even win. They don't even have a 500 record when he pitches.
It's pathetic. It's ridiculous.
Pathetic. Yeah.
Trevor gets on in a 2-1 game yesterday, two outs. All right, Charlie's up. I get it. Charlie's been struggling, but at any moment, Charlie can hit a double or a home run, but even a double's going to tie the game. I saw Bud Black after the game, and he said because of the pitcher-catcher combination, they thought it was worth the risk. But at the end of the day, that means you're playing for a single, I guess, with Charlie Blackman, your four-hole hitter up. Spilly, I didn't get it. I didn't understand the managing coaching decision to steal Trevor, who did get thrown out, and that ended the game. Explain it to
me. Yeah, I mean, this one's great because I'm Corey Sullivan and I, we are yin and yang. We're black and white. He sees things one way. I see things a different way. Corey loved it. Corey thought it was the right move. You know, he was like, give yourself a chance. What if that ball gets thrown in the outfield? Chaos, you know.
Edwin's a slider happy pitcher. He's got big fastball. Now it puts way more pressure on the defense. And I was like, yeah, I get that. I like that. But I was like, you better be 100% in stealing that stolen base. And Corey's position was, if you're going to steal a base to put pressure on the defense, that was the perfect time to do it. And if the Mets decide to pass on Charlie Blackmon, now you're going runners in scoring position, first base open, yeah, CJ Cron's going to come up. So they're like, so you're going to walk the go-ahead run on first? He's like, I would take that strategy any day of the week. And where I'm at was, I didn't like it because I didn't see Charlie take one swing. I wanted Charlie to at least have a swing so you could get the double or the homer or a single, whatever the case it may be. I wanted Charlie to get one good pass at it. And then I was okay with, you know, if you want to steal 1-1, go for it. That's usually a swing count. You want to steal two strikes, okay. But I really wanted to see, you know, maybe because that was the first pitch. So it was steal. I would have loved to have seen Charlie. Okay, you're going to get a strike. And if you get a strike that you feel like you can fire on it. I want to see that. And then anything after one strike, Trevor's going to take a chance. So, I mean, it's a difference in philosophy. It didn't work out well for the Rocks because it ended up in a loss. And you have one of your better hitters with the bat still in his hand. I will say this. After the game, post-game, I'm standing in the camera well. And I watched Charlie and Trevor talk about it. And it was really cool because it's, you know, I get to see a bunch of moments that most people don't see. And Charlie was basically mouthing, like, I'm totally okay with you stealing second. So even when you have players in that situation, you know, they understand that the team isn't scoring. They have to be aggressive in certain points, right? Like, they're just not good enough with all to stack enough quality at bats on top of each other that they have to force the issue right now. And so when two players post result, they confer and they're like, no, that's probably okay. I'm going to have to side with the players, even though, in my opinion, I would have preferred to see Charlie get one shot at firing a swing off.
Well said, my man. We'll check in with you next week. Thank you, Spilly.
Thanks, buddy.
Smell you later.
It's Phil Borgs, our fan Rockies analyst, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. What happened in the big protest today? There were a few Broncos that showed up. Football at 4 is next.